Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back. It's Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr, North Dakota Corn Council studio. We went on the road as advertised and came to Langdon, the NDSU Langdon REC Field Day today. The director of this, Randy Melhoff, good to see you again, Randy. The weather was almost perfect.
You know, Mick, the last 5 years we've been rained out 3 years out of five, and this year no rain. It was great.
A lot of folks turned out, and you had a couple, three wagons full of folks. And I guess, did you do anything different this year as compared to years in past?
No, we really didn't. We had a good turnout. It looked like there was about 150 folks on the people carriers, and basically, we did a lot more advertising for the field day, and shared some of the topics beforehand, and I think that worked because we got quite a few phone calls, and getting the word out prior to the event is very important.
That's what we kind of believe in radio too. Advertising works. It does pay to get the message out. Like I said, I learned a lot being from Richland, growing up in Richland County. Don't know much about canola and some of the other pulse crops up here, which you are deep into researching as far as seeding rates and herbicides and fungicides and all that. So I guess what is front and center research at the REC this year?
Well, you know, front and center, of course, is whatever the producers want us to do, or, you know, we get advice through our advisory council and the producers. And you're right, Mick, there's a lot of interest in these pulse crops. I've been here for quite a few years, and every year our pulse variety trials outperform every other trial out in the state. And so we've always kind of wondered, why aren't we growing more peas, faba beans, and pulse crops like that up here? And the farmers, I think, have gotten the message, and the acreage increases in those pulse crops are really going up dramatically here. So, you know, that is kind of a mainstay here, and we want to push that message because these types of crops are very low-input crops. It doesn't cost as much money to put them in, and that's what our producers are looking for, and so that's what we're going to do.
Do you see pulse crops, though, taking off in the I-29 corridor? Is that something that they'll get into, or is it just not going to work?
Well, you know, pulse crops are, they're a good constituent for soil health. And I know everybody is concerned about soil health, even those in the valley along I-29. I know Abby Wick is doing a really good job down there in southeastern North Dakota with her soil health program. And she's changing some attitudes down there. So I would say right now that it's going to be a tougher message for them along I-29. But I think that, the soil health is a big thing, and pulse crops are part of that, and I think we'll see some of that added into the rotations.
In addition to pulse crops, cover crops also, and Abby's peer up here is Naeem Kalwar, and he's at a lot of Abby's meetings over the winter, and he's talking about maybe some full season cover crops rather than a 3 or 4 year crop rotation. Make it a 5-year rotation and add a full season cover crop because it's not just good for the soil, but it's economically feasible.
That is true. And, that's at this point, I think it's a little difficult for producers to believe that they can put in a full season cover crop without really any return and still be profitable in that 4 or 5 year rotation. But I'll tell you what, these cover crops, especially if you have cattle, they're just a wonderful partnership. And, the main message I think Naeem is getting across is every once in a while, like 2 years ago, we had a big hailstorm that came through about June 10th, which gave us some land that we didn't have anything on there. And some of our guys up here put in full-season cover crops instead of planting another type of crop like millet or something like that. And they swear that that was one of the best things they did for that field. So cover crops may not give you a return that year if you have a full season cover crop, but it will add to your yields in subsequent years, and I think it pays off.
Well, there is a topic of discussion for the winter meetings, which will be here before we know it. But, man, what a beautiful day today. You were the grand finale kind of the tours. We started, of course, at the canola plot and went around, talked about insects and fungal diseases, and drove past the hemp plot but didn't stop. And I know because you got a hemp field day next Tuesday, but The grand finale that referencing is the foundation seed stocks that are produced, a lot of them right here in Langdon.
That is true. You know, the NDSU foundation seed stocks program is known as probably the best breeder seed distribution program in the United States of America. And, you know, it's so important to the producers because it takes 10 years to create a new variety. And when that new variety is finally released, many times we'll find that there's only a couple hundred pounds or maybe enough to grow a few acres. And with that, we take the RECs, we take that breeder seed, and our goal is within 3 years to have enough seed for any producer that needs it. And we are being successful with that effort.
Yeah, and you mentioned that it's spread around the state because a couple years ago in the flax, the Hammond, Williston got flooded out, and you saved the day for that variety.
Yeah, that was the year before they released Andy Hammond. It's a new flax named after Dr. Hammond, who was our flax breeder. And of course, that first little lot, we had enough for 3 acres at Langdon. We had enough for 3 acres at Williston. Williston's flooded out, and that's why we spread it around the state. Langdon's was very successful. We got about 40 bushels per acre. And with that seed, then we, the next year, 2018, when it was released, we increased that seed at Langdon, Carrington, and Minot. And this year now, after this year, we will have plenty of seed available for anybody that wants that new flax variety.
Another crop that is emerging that you're kind of on the cutting edge of research here is faba beans, not fava, made famous in the Silence of the Lambs, but faba beans, and a big nitrogen fixer. But that's going to be a couple of years before that seed is going to be available.
Well, actually, we are under contract with some of the companies that own this faba bean seed, and we're increasing it for them. And typically, you know, our foundation seed program is centered around increasing breeder seed of NDSU crop breeders. But this program is so well known throughout the United States that when some of these companies need to have a variety increased, they'll ask us to do it. And we do it not for the company, but we do it because we know the producer is going to want that seed in upcoming years. So it's all centered around what the producer wants.
Is faba beans going to be, again, viable crop along I-29, or is this more for the Minot, Carrington, Dickinson, Williston areas?
Well, faba beans are kind of a cool season crop, so they like to have, you know, a little bit of moisture and not real excessive hot weather. They can be grown down there. You know, they do have a soybean rotation that they include in the valley, and I don't see any reason why faba beans couldn't be grown instead of soybeans. It's a lot easier to manage, a lot easier to harvest. However, the markets for faba beans aren't as developed as they are for soybeans, and so that's really going to tell the tale.
Okay, so we got to develop some processors and some demand, human food, but also cattle feed, livestock feed.
That's right. There's certain varieties that are good for livestock, and there's certain varieties that aren't. And so they're creating their niche. They have different markets they serve, and they are being successful. We have producers growing quite a bit of faba beans up here this year and last year. So farmers are latching onto it, and we'll just have to see what happens.
Okay. Another market that we learned, or another crop that we learned about, got to have a demand for it, a market, is hemp. And again, you've got a big field day coming up Tuesday. You should encourage everybody to be here next Tuesday.
Yeah, that's Tuesday, July 23rd, starting at 9 in the morning. We're going to be having our first hemp field day, and we just felt it was pertinent being that we're the only research center that's been doing production research on hemp for the last 4 years. No other research center was allowed to do it except for us, and so now after 4 years of data, and especially after the Farm Bill legalized commercial production of hemp, we felt it was a good time to have a field day and let the producers know how they can grow it. But also, we want to evaluate the future direction of this industry and what's needed for it to really take off as far as market-wise.
Yeah, and again, so a lot of guys are, you know, if you're going to grow it, you want to make money at it, but you got to be good at growing it, and learning how to grow it is what you're going to learn next Tuesday.
Right, and that's you know, one of our missions here is with these new and emerging crops to create best management practices for that crop, and that's what we're doing with hemp.
All right. Well, encourage everybody to be here. Regarding hemp, it's in the Farm Bill now, and so you're not under the close watched eye of DEA anymore?
Well, you know, there's still a little influence there with the DEA, but for those states that have actually legalized hemp production, that DEA influence, it shouldn't be there. You know, the only requirement that we're going to have is we'll need to send in samples to see what the THC content is. As long as it remains below 0.3%, we'll be okay, and that should not be a problem.
Okay, good. But the men in black don't show up unannounced anymore, huh?
No, not like they did 2 years ago. But anyway, you know, they're humans, and we got through it.
Everybody's got a job to do, and you did a great job today. Randy Melhoff, director of the Langdon Research Extension Center, thanks for a great day, and thanks for all the work you do up here.
You betcha, Mick, and can't wait till next year.